are listening to the Nasty Backpack Podcast. What up, everybody? It's your boy, Nasty Backpack. Y'all listening to the Nasty Backpack Podcast. We are back, folks. We're back once again. Happy 2024. I just celebrated my 36th birthday in life. My 7th anniversary to my wife. And this is my second birthday being saved with Christ, being one with Christ, being obedient as much as possible to the Lord. And I feel good. I ain't gonna lie, it feels good to have peace in my life at 36 years old when the world is crazy. The world is crazy in a sense that it's just, you know, we're seeing wickedness all around us. You know, right now we have just chaos all around the world. We have, you know, the Ukraine-Russia war going on. We have the war in Israel going on right now. We have open borders. We have a lot of stealing, killing going on. We have people being disobedient to the Lord in all ways, shape, or form. And the reason I was compelled to do this episode today was because I just started reading Genesis a couple days ago, and I got to chapter 19, and, you know, this is where, you know, God has come to Abraham and warned Abraham that he is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham pleads for his nephew there and for some of the people in Sodom. And you know, the Lord promised them if there's 50 righteous people, he would pull them out of there. And so, you know, the Lord sends angels to Sodom to get Lot out of there and his family out of there on behalf of Abraham. And the wickedness that's going on, it's so wicked during these times that the people there, the men there, you know, they even try to rape the angels that were sent there. And you know, it just gives us it just shows us how wicked these times were, how evil, how disobedient these times were, all the way until, all the way over till, you know, there's really nobody there that is righteous. You know, they pull Lot out and his family, and they tell them all, do not look back. Of course, the wife is going to be disobedient. She looks back. She turns into a pile of salt. A pillar of salt, I'm sorry. And then, even as Lot gets saved and goes to the new place that he's going, he makes it to, which I believe it's Zoar. I could be getting that wrong, but I'm just like Zoar, yeah. And even as he gets to this new land, there's the daughters are wicked. You know, it's just him and his daughters now, and you know, because they're just so disobedient, they don't know the Lord. You know, he allows himself to get drunk. The daughters get him drunk, and then they end up having incest with their father and end up bearing children. And that just kind of tells you how wicked these times were. And then, you know, I just think about today in our society, in our culture, in our land today here in America, all across the land, no matter what city you're in or what town you're in, some are better than others, but the amount of wickedness that goes on in our country is probably worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord brought fire and brimstone to Sodom and Gomorrah. And so the reason I wanted to have this episode today was to kind of just, share that story. And you know, it's never too late to repent. It's only too late until the fire hits, until the Lord comes with the sword of fire. And that's when it's going to be too late. But right now, we can change our lives, or we can repent, and we can surrender to the Lord as sinners and let the Lord come in and clean us up. But how many people are going to do that? And, you know, things that, you know, I see all this wickedness in our culture right now, in our country going on with, you know, the LGBTQ, and I don't mean to be disrespectful. I really don't know that community that well, as far as these, everybody calls it the alphabet community, so that's probably the easiest way, so I don't mean any disrespect. But, you know, we have the alphabet community that is clearly going against the word of God. And understand, God loves you. God loves you, and God's showing mercy right now where you can turn your life over right now to him and inherit the kingdom of heaven. That's one aspect. Then we look at, you know, the split between the amount of people that are for abortion and pro-abortion compared to those who are not. And it's so bad that, you know, I took my kids to the park this last weekend after church, and we went to the park, went and had a picnic and fished, and the kids played, and a lady came up to us with a clipboard trying to get pro-abortion back on the ballot and asking if I would give my signature. And of course I said no, and I explained to my children why I said no and what that was, and they went right over to the people that were right next to us at the park, and they clearly signed it. And it was just like, you know, that's the wickedness, that's the destroying that's gonna happen to our land because of the disobedience that we are to the Lord. And, you know, a lot of people just do not know. A lot of people do not know what is in the Bible, what the Bible talks about, the stories in the Bible, the truths in the Bible. And a lot of people don't take the Bible for being God's word, and they have no idea what is to come. And it's just, you know, we have to get right with the Lord. We have to get our children right with the Lord. We have to get our family right with the Lord. And, you know, it's spiritual warfare going on nonstop, and so many people don't even see it. A lot of Christians don't even see it. And I just encourage everybody to get in the word of the Lord. I encourage everybody to repent for their sins and rebuke that way of living. And be reborn. Trust me, you will find peace. Trust me, you will be clean. You will be cleansed. You will be changed. And you can start today. You can start right now. And I just want to pray for everybody listening, Lord, that you soak them in the blood of Christ, Lord, that you soften their hearts and you make their hearts renew in your image, Lord, and you just draw them closer to you, Lord, and you forgive them for their sins, Lord. And I just ask that you just bring them to you to surrender, Lord, for we are your humble servants, and we just want to decrease ourselves and only increase you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And I just pray for everybody listening, it is not too late. You know, Jesus told us, when Jesus tells us, when he sent his disciples out to go preach on the surrounding cities, preach that the kingdom of heavens is at hand. And you know, us being modern day disciples, we have to continue to preach God's word. And so that's, I just had that heavy on my heart right now. I sit here and if everything would end today, a lot of my family members are not saved. And, you know, a lot of my family members come at me crazy. They come at me, I don't mean literally come at me crazy, but anytime I'm preaching the word of God to them, they look at me as like a hypocrite. And it doesn't even break my, it breaks my heart that they rebuke the word of God. It doesn't break my heart that they call me a hypocrite, because I know the spiritual warfare that I'm under, and I know that that's bound to happen. You know, for 34 years of my life, I lived a sinful life every single day. And that's what my family is how they're used to seeing me. Being that now, 2024, I've been reborn. I've been reborn since last year. And they haven't yet gotten used to the new me. And that's okay. You know, I can't force the word of God to anybody. All I can do is try to bring as many people as possible to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit would do everything else. But because because I'm still man, they don't expect that I'll ever have a fall. They don't expect that, you know, circumstances happen sometimes, and I don't ever look at it at myself as falling full-fledged back into a sinful life. But there's times where things happen to me, you know, me and my wife have a disagreement or things like that. Yeah, of course, we're human. You know, those things are gonna happen. It don't matter who you are. And every day you strive to follow the word of God, and you strive to be better. That's the values that a Christian lifestyle should have. But my family sees that, and they look at, you know, they've seen that through the lens of a family that was living with me. And they judge me on that. And it's fine. You know, like that, like I said, that's not the part that bothers me. The part that bothers me is that they rebuke the word of God. And it's, they don't understand that the kingdom of heaven's at hand. They don't understand that hell is forever, eternity. And heaven's in eternity. state of being. And they just, it, I mean, because they don't understand that, it breaks my heart. You know, I tried sending videos that represent these things. I tried sending scripture, and the immediate pushback that I get is crazy. And I know I'm not the only person going through this. I know tons and tons and tons of men and women of God. This is the modern day warfare that we deal with. And I say warfare because the devil has scales that over their eyes that he wants them to believe the lies. He wants them to believe that this life that they're living in this world is far more amazing than having that relationship with Jesus. And that's where people get lost at. People, you know, especially the younger generations, you know, a lot of them don't even have a chance. And so it's, you know, we have to have revival in our cities. We have to have revival in our families. We have to have revival in our house, in our church. We have to have revival in our everyday lives, no matter where we go, in our places of work, in our places of where we shop at, where we, and there are some bold men of God and women that are being bold, and they are standing up for the Lord, standing up for their values. And it's, and we're seeing more of a revival now than we ever have, but there's still tons and tons of people that are going to end up in the eternal fire pit of lake of fire. And unless they open their eyes, you know, that's going to be their fate. And I say that to say, for us who are discipling to our families, our friends, people that we see, we got to keep it on. This battle is never going to stop against the enemy. The enemy is always going to come and attack. The enemy is going to always come and make us feel small and make us, but we are large in numbers, and we are large, and the victory has already been won. Jesus rose for us to show us that we step on scorpions. In the name of Jesus, we cast out demons. In the name of Jesus, we heal the sick. In the name of Jesus, and we gotta get people to see this. We gotta get people to know this, and it's gonna be a battle, but we can't give up. And we can't take our foot off the enemy's neck. And we got to keep that dirty devil down. And we got to continue to preach the word, even if we get rejected by our families 10 out of 10 times. We got to do whatever it takes so that they have a chance to get to the kingdom. And, you know, I say that, you know, it, as long as our family members have a mustard seed of faith, Jesus will grow that to move mountains. And so that was the word I wanted to give. Like I said, I was reading Genesis today, and this was heavy on my heart. This message was heavy on my heart. I just wanted to deliver it. I wanted to get back on doing consistent sessions like this, especially you know, being so heavy in the word, and just trying to fully live a righteous lifestyle. I've changed so much to a point where my wife is like, dang, you're unrecognizable compared to 2 years ago. And I give all the glory to God, because without God, I wouldn't, that wouldn't be my walk, that wouldn't be my faith. You know, when I was going through the biggest storm of my life, Jesus Christ came and pulled me out of the pit of fire that I put myself in. And it just, knowing that I got pulled out of that pit, I mean, knowing that I got pulled out of that pit because a man of God was sharing the word with me that made my mustard seed grow. You know, I just pray that I bring people to Christ for their salvations, you know, so that they can get saved, so that we can fill up the kingdom and have the greatest party in heaven ever. But like I said, we have to continue to preach the word. We have to continue to fight that battle. You know, I have, like I said, I have my whole family. You know, when it comes to my immediate family, everybody right now is pretty much against me. I might have my little brother kind of on the fence. But, you know, it's, we have to understand that we have to follow the word of God and follow the word of Jesus. And, you know, we have to do the will of Christ. And, you know, that's, I hope that anyone listening that is going through the same battle that I'm going through, we have to understand that the devil's a lie. He's going to continue to feed the lies into our family members, continue feeding the worldly things into our family members, continue to feed the idols and the things of wickedness into our family members for those pleasures, those temptations. And we have to understand that the devil is here to kill, steal, and destroy, and he will not stop at anything. And so we have to be bold, and we just have to continue preaching the gospels to our family members with love. You know, I don't get angry at my family that they, you know, feel the way they feel about me. Because I know what I'm up against. I know that the battle is real. I know that the brokenness that they go through is real. And I know where it stems from. I know the generational curses that we've been cursed with. And it's so funny because people don't even believe in curses. And when they don't realize, when Eve ate that fruit, that we automatically been cursed since day one. And it just can, you know, so many people think that if they go to church, they're automatically saved. If your grandparents went to church, that means you're covered in that covenant with God, and that has you saved. If you got baptized when you were a baby, which in the Hispanic culture is a thing in the Catholic religion, that you're automatically saved. And it's like, I don't know where this misunderstanding came from, but it's not the case whatsoever. And all you have to do is open up your Bible to find these things out. And it doesn't even take, you just open up the Bible and you read the book of John, you're going to find out what Jesus' expectations of our living is. In the conversation with Nicodemus, where he tells Nicodemus, unless a man is reborn, he will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Like, that's clear cut direction, instructions from Jesus Christ himself, and people still don't get that message. People still don't know that message. And so it's important that we just have to put that word out there to them. We have to continue pressing in, allowing the Holy Spirit to feed us and download the word of God into us, where we are being bold to our family that don't want to hear it. They strictly don't want to hear it. And I just encourage everyone to read Genesis 18, 19, and 20. 21. And you're going to, if that doesn't open their eyes, then go and read the book of Acts to them. Read the Gospels to them. Continue pressing into them, but do not allow them to allow you to shut down. And you just, the way I see it, if I see my family in a house that's on fire, then of course we're going to warn them. We're going to warn our family members that are sitting in that house of fire. I got warned when I was sitting in the house of fire. I didn't get warned in the sense that the house was on fire, but I got warned in the sense that, yo, Jesus loves you. Let me pray for you. I saw the love of Jesus through a man of God, and I needed that. I needed that love to make me realize I'm standing in a burning building on the top floor, and I'm gonna perish for eternity in hell, in Hades, if I do not change my lifestyle. And this is the way I look at it. You know, when I explain these things to my parents and my family, I get told I'm judging. And when we think about a judge, think about a judge in a courtroom. Judges don't know our family members. Judges don't know our friends and their lifestyles. Judges don't know that. And so I would rephrase that message to that I'm judging to no. I'm a witness, a firsthand witness. I see you every day doing the wickedness that you're doing. I see you every day going out to the club and going out and drinking and smoking and doing the things that I used to do. And I see you cussing and cursing and just living this lifestyle of wickedness. I see the unforgiveness. I've seen the way we gossip about our people we know and family members. It's being a witness. It's not judging. A judge doesn't know you, but the witness sees the first hands. And so I say that to say, you know, we just got to continue to pray for our family. We got to continue pressing into our family. And at the end of the day, if we know we did what we had to do and we did the will of God. And at the end of the day, if we did our best and they still don't accept, then we just got to shake the dust off our sandals and we got to move on to the next pair of ears that we can give this message to, the message of the Lord too, and continue to pray for the lost, continue to pray for the ones that rebuke God's word. Anyways, that's all I have for you guys today. Like I really had this message on my heart after reading a couple chapters of Genesis today, and it just, when I heard Abraham pleading for his nephew Lot, who was living a straight, sinful life, him and his family, and this whole city of Sodom. It made me think about the people that I know now that are living that a same sinful life, and you know, me praying to the Lord that, you know, that you show mercy on my family, you show mercy on my friends, praying that you soften their hearts and you draw them closer. Because at the end of the day, we don't want to see these people we don't want to see our loved ones get thrown in the lake of fire when they have every opportunity to change the ways. But I love you all. We'll go ahead and end it with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today, Lord. I thank you for the wisdom and understanding and knowledge that you provided to me, Lord. I just ask that you continue pressing into me, Lord, and pressing into everybody listening, Lord, and you soften everybody's hearts and turn on their ears and remove the scales off their eyes, Lord, like you did with Saul and turning to Paul, like you did to Simon and turning to Peter, Lord. I ask that you turn everyone into a newborn baby, Lord, and you make their hearts all reborn, Lord. You make their hearts all new, Lord. And you just show them that with your love, Lord, that through your grace and through your mercy and through the pain that you went through for us, Lord, they are forgiven, Lord. And you bring them to you, Lord, and just send angels to show them that you are the way, the truth, and the life, Lord. And I just ask that you continue pressing into them and drawing them closer, Lord, and blessing them with the Holy Spirit, Lord, so that they can walk through the gates of the straight and narrow, Lord. Lord, I pray that you continue to leave the 99, Lord, to go get the one, Lord. You continue to go find the lost sheep, Lord, the lost sheep of the kingdom, Lord, and you bring them in, Lord. Lord, I ask that you consecrate everybody in your blood, Lord, and show them that through you, all things are possible, Lord. Lord, I pray that you send a protection against the enemy to everyone, Lord, that you, anybody that's dealing with depression, that you break that spirit of depression on them. Anybody that's dealing with cancer, Lord, that you heal that cancer, Lord, in your mighty name through your blood, Lord. Anybody that is dealing with anxiety or loneliness or brokenness, Lord, that you just make them whole, Lord. Lord, I ask that you heal the sick, Lord, that you feed the hungry, Lord, and that you continue to press into us, Lord, through your mighty name, Lord. Lord, you are the way, the truth, and the light, Lord. We love you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love you all. If y'all love this, please share, subscribe, check out the merch line coming soon. I love you all. It's your boy, Nasty Backpack. We out.